Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey everyone, PA here, Pastor Adam Bird, and thanks so much for tuning in to our Every Nation channel. And I got news for you today that God has got a word for you. God's got a word for you. And so if you've been tracking with us, we're actually in a series we've just called The Longest Game, Winning in Life. We're actually going chapter by chapter of our church's book. And today we're going to talk about prayer. All right, but let me start off this way. So please tell me you've heard of this person. His name is Wayne Douglas Gretzky, a.k.a. The Great One. Right? Wayne Gretzky. If you don't know who that is, shame on you. All right? You have Google. Google him. And here's what you'll find out is that Wayne Gretzky, throughout his NHL career, he held over 61 NHL records, including, get this, most goals, most assists, and most points ever. And here's what's crazy. He was so far and above every other player that if you took away all his goals from the record books, he would still have the most points ever in the National Hockey League. And that's why they called him the Great One. And so I remember October 30th, 1991 was the first time I ever played against Wayne Gretzky. He was with the LA Kings at that time. And we actually, I was with the Hartford Whalers. We battled to a 4-4 tie. And Gretzky, for the record, had a goal and an assist. If you're wondering, yes, your pastor did score a goal, but it's not about me this morning, okay? And so my first time playing against Wayne Gretzky, and I do remember distinctly the game was unbelievably physical. Like there's just banging and thrashing back and forth to the point where you can feel, hey, this game's getting out of control. The officials were losing control of the game, and sure enough, I'm on the ice, and then just all hell broke loose. And a five-on-five fight broke out. If you don't know what that is, it's like each guy from the opposing team grabs another guy, and it's on like Donkey Kong, man. And so here's what happened, though. As all these fights start breaking out, I grab the closest guy next to me, and it's Wayne Gretzky. And so I realized this, like I'm not going to fight Wayne Gretzky for several reasons. Number one, it's Wayne Gretzky, okay? Number two is Wayne Gretzky's not like a very big guy. He's like about 5'11", 180 pounds. And I was like 6'2", 210. And so, like, I went to fight somebody else. So I pushed him away, and I went to go. I said, Wayne, I don't want you. And then I went to go find somebody bigger, you know. And sure enough, though, he reached back. He grabbed my sweater, pulled me back again. And he says, hey, kid, let's just, you and I will stay here, and we'll let those guys beat the mess out of each other, all right? And so, and then in that moment, it occurred to me, oh, my gosh, I'm standing with the Great One. And you know what we did? All we did was talk. And looking back, man, I wish I would have asked him to sign my jersey or something during the game. You know what I'm saying? But I was talking with the Great One. And that's kind of the big idea for our time today, is I want to talk to you about prayer, talking to the Great One. And get this. So listen, if you don't get anything else I say today, see, here's my frustration, is I want to convey to you just, I mean, how many things God is doing as we take time and we pray to the Lord, to the Great One. God is accomplishing so much in it and through it. And yet so few of us do it. And my fear is like, it feels like an impossible task to inspire you to reach out to talk to the Great One. It's like, I'm not sure if you've heard of the word habituation. It's when you see something or hear something so much it becomes invisible or you don't hear it any longer. And I feel like prayer can be one of those things where, yeah, prayer, yeah, prayer, yeah, prayer, and it just becomes white noise. And I just want to appeal to you that God is accomplishing so much in your life through prayer. And if you don't believe me, take it from Corrie Ten Boom. Corrie Ten Boom, she says this, when a Christian shuns fellowship with other Christians, the devil smiles. When he stops studying the Bible, the devil laughs. But when he stops praying, the devil shouts for joy. Like, prayer is so important, and God is accomplishing so much when we take a moment to pray. And so let me unpack some of this. And so here's the number one big idea I want you to take away is when we pray, when we talk to the Great One, you're growing your relationship with Almighty God. You are. And so take, for example, my wife Susan and I, we've been married for 35 years. But listen, what would happen if I only talked to her once a week on a Sunday for about an hour, right? Listen, without no communication equals no relationship equals no marriage. And you know, it's the same way with God. Man, without communication, without prayer, there can be no relationship with God. And so prayer is unbelievably critical to you growing a vibrant life and relationship with the Lord. And I get it, man. There's some of you that are like, man, prayer is hard. And so I'll say it this way, like my prayer journey is, I'm not proud of it, but prayer has always been difficult, even intimidating to me. I can remember just being a teenager, and I was in our church's youth group, and I didn't know this was going to happen. Like, we all gathered around and grabbed hands, and then what happened, then the youth pastor said, hey, each guy's going to say a prayer, and when you're done, you squeeze the other person's hand, and then it's their turn to pray. And I'm like, what? We're going to pray out loud? Like, I know some of you are like me, like, pray. If there's a choice between death or pray out loud, I'm choosing death, man. And so sure enough, we're around the circle and people are praying and I'm not listening to one thing they're saying. I'm trying to figure out, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? What am I going to say? Right? And then sure enough, somebody squeezes my hand. And it's my turn. And I just blurted out, what she said, right? And then squeezed the person next to me. Epic fail. And but here's what's crazy is just, prayer it was always a difficulty for me. I love the Bible and the scriptures, but prayer was such a struggle for me. But here's what I want to tell you, and here's why I'm just so adamant and want to convey this to you today, is I made a decision that I was going to discipline myself, that I'm going to begin each and every day with 20 minutes of prayer. And I had to set a timer that I could pray for more than 20 minutes, but I was going to pray for no less than 20 minutes. It was a discipline that I established in my life, but here's what happened. Somewhere along the line, and I don't even know where, discipline turned into delight. Like, I just can't begin to tell you, like, I have an excitement about waking up in the morning and getting my coffee and talking to the Great One. I love praying in my morning prayer time with the Lord. I can honestly say that discipline turned into delight. It went from just being something I made myself do to friendship with Almighty God. And listen, I don't think I'm alone in this. So you may have heard in your Bible about a man by the name of Enoch. Enoch has a fascinating story of going from discipline to delight, to friendship with God. It says in Hebrews 11, chapter 5, it says, "By faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found, because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God." Like, I don't know if you noticed that, but do you know the name Enoch? It means discipline. And Enoch, he disciplined himself to get away and spend time with the Lord. And you know what? It turned into delight that he and the Lord established this friendship of walking together. And God loved it so much. He says, Enoch, why don't you just come up with me, right? And he took him up to glory. And so I want you to delight in your time with the Lord. So there's another guy, a German monk by the name of Brother Lawrence. You may have heard of him. He has a classic book called Practicing the Presence. And in it, this German monk, what he's wanting to do is just be aware of the presence of God with him everywhere he goes and whatever he does. And he has some staggering comments in the book. Like, at one point, he actually says, "Today, I have known such delicious fellowship with the Lord." I'm like, delicious fellowship, right? It just sounds like, wow, that's really odd. And he'll go on, and he also says this in his book. He says, "There is not in the world a kind of life more sweet and delightful than that of a continual conversation with God." And that's what prayer is, a continual conversation with Almighty God. It builds a relationship, a friendship with him. And then if I could just show you the other side of this, man, is there's a man by the name of Charles Templeton. He was a contemporary of Billy Graham, and he was a kind of a big deal back in the day. But somewhere along the line, Charles Templeton, his faith was shipwrecked. He had some trouble with the Bible, and so he didn't believe in it. He abandoned his Christian faith. And so there's a guy, Lee Strobel, he interviewed him in his book, The Case for Christ. And in it, Strobel, as he's interviewing Templeton, when he's talking about the Bible, he's like, yeah, very anti-Christian, very anti-. And then Lee Strobel, he shifted and he says, can I talk to you about Jesus? And then in that moment, everything changed. And so let me read to you an excerpt from the book. It says, although advanced in years, Templeton maintained his rejection of the Bible. But when Strobel asked a question about Jesus Christ, he noted a clear change in Templeton's body language. With softened posture and a melancholy and reflective tone, Templeton spoke of Jesus with a deep admiration. He was the greatest human being who ever lived. He was a moral genius. His ethical sense was unique. He was the intrinsically wisest person that ever encountered in my life or in my reading. His commitment was total and led to his own death, much to the detriment of the world. Strobel said, you sound like you really care about him. And here's Templeton's response. Templeton answered, well, yes, he's the most important thing in my life. Then, with a stammering voice, the seemingly hardened atheist said of Jesus, I adore him. Everything good I know, everything decent I know, everything pure I know, I learned from Jesus. His voice began to crack with emotion, and to the surprise of Strobel, though through his tears, he said of Jesus, I miss him. I miss him very much. And so was that fascinating? Like, could you hear in Templeton's voice, man, he missed fellowship with God. He missed friendship with Jesus. And that's what prayer is. And so listen, God answering our prayers, what we're asking for, is amazing. But at the end of the day, you know what you're really after is relationship and friendship with God. And it's built through prayer. And so here's something else. So prayer builds relationship with God. It also changes us. It changes us. And so get this. At 16 years old, I moved away to North Bay, Ontario, Canada to go try and make it to pro hockey and whatnot. But my dad, he sat me down before I left to Canada, and he made me make a blood oath between he and I. And he says, son, promise me you will never, ever say the word, eh? Eh? If you've ever been to Canada, you know what I'm talking about. And so we made that blood oath with one another 4 days into my time in Canada. Eh? Eh? I just couldn't help it, man. I don't know what happened. And guess what? It not only changed the way I talked by being in Canada, you know, it changed the way I look. I was rocking the mullet because mullet was cool up in Canada. And so it not only changed the way I look in the way I talk, but it also changed my appetites. Like Canadians, I went up there, I'm like, y'all just eat weird stuff. Like they had dill pickle potato chips, ketchup potato chips. Man, they had a poutine, which is like gravy with cheese and stuff on French fries. And I'm like, but for the record, it's pretty amazing. And beer is one of the five basic food groups there. And so all these things, listen, I didn't want to change. And yet just being around it and in it changed me. And you know, the same way as we pray, as we are disciplined and it turns to delight, as we spend time with the Lord, you begin to change on the inside. You start to love what Jesus loves, hate what Jesus hates, right? Your appetites change and you don't even know it's happening, but it just happens like through prayer, spending time with the Great One. And do you know that Jesus very often, when he talks about prayer, he challenges us and encourages us to be persistent, to be steadfast. Don't go weary in doing it, right? There's the persistent widow, and there's all these different examples. You know why God wants you to stay faithful in prayer? Because he's working on the inside of you. He needs you to sit still long enough in his presence that he starts to do work on the very inside of you. And so prayer, when we go to God in prayer and we're praying and asking things, we're actually not trying to bend God's will to ours. Actually, as we persist in prayer and are steadfast, God is aligning our will with his. And when those two wills align, it becomes unbelievably powerful. Check this out in John 15:7. In John chapter 15, in verse 7, it says this: "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you." Is that unbelievable? Like if you abide in Jesus, your will is aligning with his. He says, ask whatever you want, and it's going to be done for you. That's the power of prayer. Prayer not only changes us, prayer changes things, man. It just does. And so I'll share this story with you. Like my wife and I were married very young. And so I remember, man, I had the white tuxedo with tails on and all that stuff. And my wife, she was, get this, 40 minutes late for our wedding. I'm waiting for her to show up. And I'm like, man, did she just stand me up? You know, that kind of thing. But anyway, she got there, and then we did the deal, and, you know, walk. And we were sitting in the front of the altar. And at one point, my pastor, he had me kneel down. And here's what I didn't know is one of my groomsmen actually wrote on the bottom of my shoes, "Help me." So the moment I kneeled down, the entire crowd burst out in laughing during our wedding. But here's something I just never knew. I never knew throughout my life, those two words, "help me," would become a consistent prayer in my life. And you know what? I think God hears help me prayers. In fact, let me tell you, like, many of you are familiar with the story of Jesus is walking on the water, and Peter's like, "Hey man, if it is really you, bid me to walk on the water." Peter walks on the water, but then it says when he sees the wind and the rain, he's distracted, and it says he starts to sink. And when he does, he cries out, and he says this: "But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me. Lord, save me.'" See, God hears help me prayers. In fact, as well in Matthew chapter 15, it's the story of a Canaanite woman. She's just crying out, pestering the disciples. "Lord, help my daughter. Lord, help my daughter." And she's driving in her persistence the disciples crazy. And they're like, "Lord, make her stop." And then he says, "Woman, it's not good to give the children's food to the dogs." And she says this. She says, "Man, yeah, but they eat of the crumbs." And so she just asked this simple prayer. She says she came to him saying, "Lord, help me. Lord, help me." See, God hears help me prayers, right? And so I want to encourage you that there's some of you, man, that God's just waiting for you to cry out, to talk to him, to talk to the great one, and just ask him, "God, help me. God, help me." He hears help me prayers. But see, I think a lot of times that we've made just prayer an add-on, when in fact it's the very answer that we're looking for. So we just pray before a meal or something like that, when in fact, man, we need to pray before everything. It's the answer to all of life's most difficult questions. In fact, I mentioned this in the book, but prayer seems to be the answer to all of life's questions. So get this, back when I was playing in the NHL, like, one of my coaches, and I won't tell him, say his name, but I was convinced, I don't think this guy understands hockey, because whenever I'd ask him a question, he just had one answer to every question. He'd say, "Oh, it's a read and react situation." I'm like, "Well, coach, what about how should I move the guy out in front of the net?" "Well, it's a read and react situation." "Well, coach, what happens on a 3-on-2? He's like, "Oh, well, it's a read and react situation." I'm like, is this guy dumb or is he brilliant? Because for the record, hockey in these situations, it really is a read and react situation, right? And so it seemed to be the one answer for every question. And do you know, James, the Lord's brother, was a man of prayer. In fact, they called him Camel Knees because his knees were so calloused on the bottom as he dropped to his knees in prayer to God Almighty. And so get this, for James, prayer was the one answer to every question. Check it out in James 5:13-18. It says this: "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. And so, I don't know if you caught that, but James is like, hey, you're happy, pray. You're sad, pray. If you need something, pray. It's just like, pray. 7 times he does it. There's another great prophet you may have heard of. His name is Stanley Burrell. You may better know him as MC Hammer. And you remember his hymn where he appealed to us, you got to pray. You got to pray just to make it today, right? And I would say amen, MC Hammer. In fact, he did it 147 times in his song. But I tend to agree with him that prayer is the answer to all of life's questions. And so now there may be some of you that are watching, and you're just kind of like, you have all these objections about why you can't pray. And so I think one of them is that, hey, I don't pray because I just don't know how to. I don't know how to. And I would say this, just talk to God. Man, I want to just make it as simple as possible. Just talk to God. Don't pray what you think you ought to say. Pray what you want to say to Almighty God. He's wanting to listen to you. And so, for me, prayer, I didn't learn how to pray from a book or a class or a sermon. I learned how to pray by talking to God, by just praying. It's just reps, man, getting into it. You know, it's how you learn to talk to your earthly parents, right? Man, when you're an infant and you're just trying to talk and get words out, and don't you butcher it? Like parents, don't you love it when your kids, they kind of butcher certain words? It's like, oh, you're ridiculous, and it's so adorable, you know? So, I know my oldest daughter, Cassie, when she was a little girl, she couldn't say her name. She's like, my name is Khaki. I'm like, no, baby girl, it's Cassie. No, my name is Khaki, right? And you know what I never did? Are you dumb? I didn't do that. I'm like, oh my gosh, you're saying it wrong, and it's absolutely adorable, you know? My youngest, Elizabeth, she couldn't say cookie. So she's like, Daddy, I want to get a tutti. Tutti was how she said it. I'm like, you're saying it wrong. Tutti is not how it's pronounced. It's cookie, right? And I wouldn't let her have a cookie. Of course I didn't do that. I'm like, baby girl, say it again. What do you want? A tutti. Tutti, right? And we just crack up laughing. And you know, in a similar way, man, that God is your heavenly Father. And this, we're kind of working things out in our prayer life. Man, your Father, he longs to hear from you, right? Despite the fact we might not be doing it as well as we should. I love what Max Lucado says. Max Lucado, he says this, the power of prayer is the one who hears it and not in the one who says it. Man, I'm going to say amen to that. The power of prayer is not in the one who says it, but in the one who hears our prayer. So maybe this will resonate with you. Have you ever had like your phone like spell check you or auto correct you, and it jacked up what you were saying in your text message or your email, right? Is that the most annoying thing? And so I remember I was texting the New York Jets, their offensive coordinator. His name was Brian Schottenheimer. He went by the name Shoddy. And so I reached out to Shoddy, and it spell corrected to something I can't say on this camera right now, okay? See what I mean? How it can kind of get you in trouble. But here's the good news. Do you know that the Holy Spirit, as we pray and it's kind of off, that the Holy Spirit, he spell checks, he auto corrects on our behalf? Check this out. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, Paul says that likewise the Spirit helps us in our weakness. In other words, in our ability where we struggle in praying properly, he says, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Like the Spirit of God, he corrects our prayers on the way up. And so I know, like some of you, you've just prayed, God, I hate you. But the Holy Spirit, he auto-corrects it on the way up. No, Father, he's not saying that. He's not saying he hates you. He's saying he doesn't understand you right now, right? That some of us, man, you have prayed this prayer. God, I love him and I want to marry him. And the Holy Spirit's like, no, Father, she doesn't mean she want to marry him. She means she's lonely right now and she needs you to be close to her. Like some of you've prayed, God, just kill them all, right? Or maybe behind the wheel or something like that. And the Holy Spirit's like, no, Father, he doesn't mean kill them all. He means forgive them all, just like you've forgiven him, right? The Lord, he auto-corrects our prayers on our behalf. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. And so objection number one, I don't know how to. It's just not an excuse. The objection number two would be this, that just God doesn't answer prayer. And I would tell you this, God always answers our prayers, always. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 to 15, it says this, and this is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. And so God always answers our prayers. I'm not sure if you've seen the movie Bruce Almighty. If you remember, it's Jim Carrey. He plays Anchorman Bruce Nolan, and he's just had it with God. He thinks that God's not doing a good job, and so God comes to him in the person of Morgan Freeman. If you remember this, and sure, he tells him, "Hey, if you don't think I'm doing a good job, you can be God." And do you remember Bruce Almighty's like, "Hey man, I got this." And then when he was just inundated with all these prayer requests from the billions of people on the planet, he finally was just like, he just says yes to all of their prayers. Do you remember what happened? Chaos, destruction, world war, right? Just all hell broke loose on the earth because he just answered yes, right, to someone's prayer. In fact, I got to see this front and center. Like, do you know, I can remember we had an event for our children's ministry. It was going to be outdoors. And so our staff, we'd been praying, like, you know, kind of silly but important. We're praying, Lord, let's have good weather. Don't let it rain. And sure enough, it didn't rain. But can I tell you, that same day of that event, I had a guy in my church come up to me, ask for prayer, and he was saying how disappointed he was with God because he had been praying all week that God would make it rain, because he had to have something tested on his house. Poor God, right? You got these two conflicting prayers. Like, what is God to do? It's a kind of a lose-lose situation. I love what Mark Batterson says, and he says this, that, do you know, the number of variations that you can have for the first 10 moves on a chessboard, do you know how many they are? Listen, I can't even tell you the number. I'm going to put it up on the screen right now, but there's a lot of zeros behind it, okay? And that's just for the first 10 moves on a chessboard. Can you fathom how many moves there are on the board of the universe for God Almighty, and each thing impacts and affects the other one, right? So God's got a lot going on, and he's a good dad and gives good things. But listen, everything affects everything else. And so like some things, it's just not wise for God to answer your prayer at this moment. I love what Tim Keller says, that God, he answers our prayers the way we would if we knew what he knew. And I tend to believe that's true. And God always answers prayer. It's no or not yet. And then sometimes yes, is it? So God, sometimes he's going to tell you no to your prayer, okay? And aren't you happy that God doesn't answer all our prayers? Like, I've prayed some pretty dumb stuff in my lifetime, okay? Thank God he didn't answer yes to all my prayers. But if you even look at, man, the Apostle Paul had been to the third heaven. Jesus himself discipled him for 3 years. Paul had healed blind eyes, raised the dead, okay? He's kind of a big deal. He prayed to God that his thorn in the flesh would be removed. Do you know what God's answer was? No, 3 times. Okay. Another one, Jesus, God in the flesh, the Son of Man and the Son of God, prays in the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane, it means the press. And his life is pressing Jesus, the imminent cross before him. He's like, God, if there be any other way, three times he prays it. And each time the Father's like, nope. No. And so if God, if he tells Paul no, and his very son no, I'm guessing there's going to be some times where God's going to say no. And it's not because he's good, not good. It's because he wants a greater good in your life and in the world. So sometimes he'll say no, but get this, sometimes it's not no, it's just not yet. And so do you know that the disciples, they were in an upper room and they were praying for 10 days straight, 10 days for the Holy Spirit to come. Not yet, not yet, not yet, not yet, except on the 10th day. On the 10th day, man, the Spirit of God came on the day of Pentecost. Here'll be another one, like Israel was in Egyptian bondage and slavery. Get this, for 430 years, they had been crying out to God, God deliver, God deliver, God deliver, for 430 years. But here's what they didn't know. God's like, not yet, not yet, not yet. Why? Because I'm raising up Moses. Not yet, because these 12 sons are going to become 12 tribes of Israel. That a family is going to become a nation. Not yet, not yet, because I'm going to raise up Egypt, that when I come in power with the 10 plagues, all the world will know that the one true God is Yahweh, right? And so we see this. It's not a no. It's just a not yet. And so, but there occasionally we get the yes, that when God's will in our prayer align, and with that, man, we get our yes and our amen from God. In fact, I was thinking about, man, what answered prayer that I could give for an example, and I just love in the book of Acts chapter 12, if you remember the story that Peter is arrested, put in a Roman prison, and the disciples are at John Mark's house. They're having a prayer meeting. They're interceding and crying out that God would set Peter free. And so as they're praying and praying and praying in this prayer meeting, God answered their prayer. And the angel comes and releases Peter, brings him to John Mark's house. He knocks on the door. A woman named Rhoda answers the door. She hears Peter's voice, and she yells back, it's Peter. And here, I want you to see the response in Acts 12:15. They said to her, you are out of your mind. But she kept insisting that it was so. And they kept saying, it was his angel. And so here's what you see is I just think that's so hilarious. They're crying out to God, and yet they're shocked when God actually answered their prayer. Man, that God laid down his yes and amen towards your prayer. And I don't know who you are, but there's some of you, you've been asking, seeking, and knocking, that you've been crying out to God, maybe for weeks, months, or even years. And I got news for you. I want to encourage you. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, because I promise you, man, your yes is right around the corner. Your Heavenly Father is good, and he gives good gifts. Now, let us pray. Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, for this word around prayer. Lord, I'm so aware of, God, how inadequate this talk is to kind of draw people to yourself in prayer. But I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord. God, those of us that we want to pray more, God, I pray, Lord, that your grace would abound and we'd have such a deep longing and hunger and thirst in our spirit, Lord. God, that you would draw us into your presence and into prayer. Thank you that you're a good God and you give good things to your kids. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.